Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, please. Mary of Bethany is one of my favorite women of the Bible. I think I have probably studied her the most. I think I've probably heard the most studies on her from the second month I was saved. Her and Mary Magdalene, which we studied at the beginning of our year, to me seem to have the most intimate relationship with the Lord, with all the women in the Bible that we've looked at. Every time we saw Mary Magdalene, she was serving Jesus. She was with him. She was devoted to him. And every time we see Mary of Bethany, she's at the Lord's feet. And I have always looked to her she's just inspiring. She stirs my heart. She causes me to want to do the same, to grow in my relationship with the Lord, to sit at his feet whenever he calls me to do that, just to spend more and more time with him. Chapter 10 of Luke, in verse 38, says, "Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" There's several key words in there that teach us so many things. One of them is when Jesus said that Mary has chosen. Mary chose to sit at the Lord's feet. Now, in verse 40, Martha says that my sister Mary has left me to then continue serving, to do the serving alone. So, which implies that Mary was serving. She was in the kitchen or preparing the home, preparing the meal, doing those things that she needed to do around the house to prepare for her guests. Now, some people portray Mary as this kind of woman who just sits around and really does actually nothing. She just kind of sits, one of those, you know, pondering kind of contemplative, mystical kind of people, her head in the clouds, always, just not doing anything. But that, I don't think that was Mary. She was serving. But when her work was through, she chose to leave it and to then go and sit at the Lord's feet. Now, I'm sure she could have found more to do, because you know how it is in your own home. When you're cooking dinner, you're washing, or you're cleaning, or doing any of those things, it's never done. There's always something else that we can be doing. And maybe Mary left her work in the kitchen and it wasn't perfect, and it wasn't just exactly the way that she wanted it to be, but she chose to leave it and go sit at the Lord's feet. Mary had to say no to something. She had to say no to something in order to say yes to the Lord. And we can't just assume that Mary's choice, I'll wait, that's okay. Is it off? Okay. We can't just assume that because Mary went and sat at the Lord's feet, that that was an easy thing for her to do. That she just said, "Well, I'm through with my work now. I think I'll just go in and sit at the Lord's feet." You know the struggles that you have. And Mary is just like us. She's a human being. She's a woman just like us with things that need to be done. But she chose to leave them to sit at the Lord's feet. Jesus tells us that in verse 42, chose. Now, I keep saying that word over and over again because to me it's an important word. And if Jesus said that Mary has chosen that good part, she chose to leave her work, she chose to sit at my feet, he's telling me that it's my choice. It is my choice in my own life then to leave what I'm doing and then sit at the Lord's feet. I choose when I sit at the Lord's feet. I choose how often I sit at the Lord's feet, and I choose how long I stay at the Lord's feet. Now, I might like to think that it's not my choice. I might like to think that, you know, my children are the ones who dictate how and when and all of that, or my husband or my job or the things in the house. But really, it is my choice. Now, when I first got saved, I heard Raul Ries, he came and spoke at our church, and I heard him say, "You are as close to the Lord today as you want to be." Now, that was like a slap in the face to me when I heard that, because I wanted to say, "No, that's not true. I want to be so much closer to the Lord." And we sing this song, you know, "I want to be closer to you, Lord." So obviously it's not me. You know, it's got to be some other reason. But that's really not true. Now, we have that desire, and yes, we sing these songs, and they're true. They're a prayer. It's a desire of our heart to grow closer to the Lord. But I do have that choice. It made me realize that what I put into my relationship with the Lord is the spending time with Him, spending time in His Word and seeking His face. It's all up to me. He's willing. He's waiting. He's always there. He's never busy. Isn't that great? He's the only one in this whole universe that's not busy. We're all so busy. We're all running around thinking we're just so busy. We don't have time for all these things. And God, who would be the busiest person around, He's just got everything under control, and He just sits and waits for you, and He sits and waits for me. My choice. Now, my battle then is with my flesh. My battle is with the distractions that come about. Now, probably, I think it was in December, we did our study on Martha. So you might want to go back over your homework, go back over your notes, or check the tape out. We talked about all the distractions, all those things that are the reasons why we choose not to sit at the Lord's feet. But Mary chose, and she didn't let herself become distracted. And so I encourage you today, when you hear the Lord calling you to come away, to come and sit, and when you're at the kitchen sink and you hear that still small voice that says, "Come sit with me," I encourage you to choose to go sit. It may be for 2 minutes. It may be for half an hour. Whatever the time frame, that doesn't matter. But listen to His voice. He's always there calling us and drawing us. Jesus also said in verse 42 that one thing is needed. One thing is needed. All these other things we think are needed, and yet there's one thing that's needed. Now, our relationship with the Lord is eternal. Things are not. All those things that keep us busy and keep us distracted, they're not eternal. The only thing that's eternal, the Lord, our relationship with Him, His Word, and people. And we had a need to be saved from the wages of sin. And we also have a need to fellowship with the one who saved us. That is something that God has placed in our heart, that need for fellowship. He desires fellowship with us. That blows me away. He's waiting for me to come to Him, to fellowship with Him. Why would He enjoy me? I don't know, but He does, and He is waiting. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." We were called into the fellowship with His Son. He calls us to have fellowship with Him. Now, on a study like this, and I've certainly sat through many that have made me feel real bad, made me feel real guilty, because I'm not sitting at the Lord's feet the way that I should be sitting at His feet. And I've walked away from studies on Mary of Bethany that I've just felt worse. I felt like a crumb. I felt terrible, rotten. Boy, you know, I should have. I'm only did 5 minutes. I should have done 10 minutes at His feet. Or, you know, all those kind of things that go on in our hearts and in our minds. And could probably say a real lot that would make you feel pretty rotten. Probably check out my old tapes and you'll hear enough on that. But I don't want to do that. I want you to know how much the Lord loves you and how much he desires fellowship with you. We cannot look at our relationship with the Lord or our fellowship time with the Lord or our quiet time or sitting at the Lord's feet, whatever you call it, as something that I have to do in the sense of, oh no, if I don't do this, then this won't go right or he won't bless me or I'll be a rotten person or any of that. We need to look at it as a love relationship. There is a God who loves you, who looks at you with eyes of grace, who is calling your name, wooing you, not yelling at you from the other room. You better get in here and do your devotion, or you think your day's going to go rotten. Well, you know, that's not our Lord. He's calling us with that heart of love. He waits for you, and he waits for me each and every day to come to him. He just sits and he waits, and he misses the fellowship when we don't come in and spend time with him. He is a loving God. Now, the other passage concerning Mary is found in Matthew, Mark, and in John when it talks about her anointing Jesus' feet. If you want to turn to John chapter 12, you can. Each one brings out something a little bit different. It kind of adds a little bit more. And what I have done is I've combined them. And I want to read them so nothing is left out. So you can kind of read along in John chapter 12, but it won't be exact because I've compiled them. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly, fragrant oil of spikenard in an alabaster flask. She broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' head and feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant. And Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For the poor you have with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand. In pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she has done this for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what this woman did will also be spoken of as a memorial to her." That's absolutely beautiful to me. And there's, of course, several key words in those passages, too. Now, one that has always stood out to me is that little phrase that's found in Mark's account in Mark 14. She came beforehand. She came beforehand to anoint Jesus' body for burial. Now, I believe that it was because of Mary's intimacy with Jesus, her relationship with him, that she was able to come beforehand. How did she know? How did she know? Did he tell her? I don't think he told her, "This is what's going to happen. I want you to come and anoint me for my burial." No. She had that intimacy with him. She sat at his feet. She heard his words. She knew his heart. She knew his mind. And perhaps she could look in his eyes and see a difference. Perhaps she could notice a difference with Jesus as he was on his way to being delivered and then crucified. But she must have known somehow how to serve him, how to minister to him, and how to please him at this time in his life. When we have a close relationship with the Lord, our hearts will beat right along with His. I was reminded of this little thought that says, Lord, somewhere I read that when two people love deeply, when they live together, sharing, caring, giving, forgiving, eventually they begin to resemble each other. Lord, how long will it be before I look like you? And the longer we spend at the feet of Jesus, our heart is going to be right in sync with His heart. We're going to know His heart. We are going to know His mind. Mary of Bethany did. She was led there by her love for the Lord. And she was sensitive to Him. We will be the same way. The more time we spend at the Lord's feet, He does that work in our life and we become more and more like Him. And we become sensitive to His voice and to His leading, then we will be able to come beforehand and minister to those in need. You've probably been a partaker of that at one time or another, where you are going through this horrible time, or you're depressed or down or whatever it might be, and the Lord leads a sister to come beforehand and send you that card, to send you that note, or send you that scripture, or whatever. Or maybe it's before you're really getting into that hard time. And you get this verse and you think, wow, that's great. And then the next day, something happens and you pull that out and you go, I can't believe, Lord, you came beforehand in my life. And if you are on the other end and you are the one who came beforehand and you, just because you're listening to the Lord, because you've spent time at His feet and you've heard Him and He's laid that person or that verse or that person on your heart, and you, out of obedience, sent it off, and then you hear down the road that that was exactly what they needed. You've come beforehand. I love that. Now, Mary's desire to please the Lord in this cost her something. Her fragrant oil was worth about a year's wages. It was very, very precious, very costly. And she probably had it for her own burial, saving it. And yet she gave it to Jesus to honor Him and to pour out her love to Him. And there are times in our walks where what is precious to us, what is costly to us, that we will then give it away and give it to the Lord, whether we give it directly to Him or who He's telling us to give it to in His leading. It will cost us something. But Mary of Bethany, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's an expression of her love to the Lord. It also says that Mary has done what she could do. And it may have seemed an insignificant thing to Mary. She might have thought, okay, I have this alabaster flask of oil, and I'm going to anoint Him. But what is that? What is that for my Lord? What difference will that make? And we can feel that way at times. And yet it totally blessed the Lord. It was preparing His body, honoring Him before His crucifixion, before His burial and His resurrection. And there are things in our lives that we might consider insignificant. But don't be afraid to give what little you have. And that was our message with those two widows who gave all that they had to give. And the Lord will see it as a good work, just as He did with Mary. Now, in doing this, Mary was criticized. People didn't like what she did. They thought it was a waste. Why are you doing this? Why are you pouring out this costly oil, this precious oil on Jesus? And, you know, it was wasted. We could have sold it and gave the money to the poor and all of that. Well, there are times where we may be criticized for our relationship with the Lord, for our sitting at His feet. There might be unsaved people in our lives. Maybe we live with them. Maybe we're close to them. And they wonder why in the world we are going to church again. And why can't you just skip it? And why do you always have to do that? Why do you always read your Bible? Why do you get up so early so you can sit there and read the Bible and pray? They can criticize you. But Mary let the Lord be her defense. She didn't say a word, and Jesus did step in, and he defended her. He said, leave her alone. Don't trouble her. She's done a good work. Now, what Mary had done was simply from an outflow of her relationship with the Lord, just because she loved him. And she took that alabaster flax, and in one of the Gospels it says that she broke it. It had to be broken. And in breaking the flask, it released the fragrant oil, and then the fragrance filled the house. Then everyone could smell it. When it was inside of that flask, when it was sealed, no one could enjoy it. They couldn't smell it. It wasn't used. But once it was broken and poured out, then the fragrance filled the air and blessed the Lord. And that fragrance from our life comes from our personal relationship with the Lord. As I sit at his feet, as you sit at his feet, I don't understand how he works in our lives. I just know that he does. Just sitting and worshiping the Lord, sitting quietly before him in prayer, he does something to your heart. He purifies your heart. He refines your heart. And we come to that place of being broken before him. And unless we're broken before him, unless we walk in brokenness, that fragrance will not be let out. And it's his fragrance in us that needs to flow out and fill the air. In 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Through us, he diffuses his fragrance. And we have to be broken in order to do that. And brokenness comes, again, by sitting at the Lord's feet. It tells us that this will be a memorial to Mary. Whenever her name is said or spoken of, she will be remembered by this. And from the first time I read this passage, that's what I think of when I think of Mary of Bethany. I immediately think sitting at the Lord's feet and pouring out and anointing him, giving him everything that I would have to give him. She gave what she had. She was sensitive to his leading. And we remember her by the fragrance that she left. That fragrance filled the house. It lingered in the air so that all could enjoy it. And from Ephesians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. This is my prayer for you this morning. That God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And when you know this, that you would be drawn to his feet, when you meditate on that, when you think about his great love for you, that it would cause you then to be drawn to his feet, that you would choose today, that you would choose tomorrow morning when you wake up, that you would choose tomorrow night, on and on, that you would choose more and more each day to sit at his feet, and that you would become closer and more intimate in your relationship with him, so that you would be sensitive, so that you would be able to come beforehand to those around you, and then that the fragrance, Christ's fragrance in you, Christ in you, because of your brokenness, because of your sitting at his feet, would then fill the air to everyone that comes around you. Lord, I thank you for this woman that you have given us a glimpse of in your word, Lord, and her life, that beautiful life. And Lord, I pray that you would show your love to each one of my sisters this morning, Lord. Show them, Father, that they cannot earn anything from you. That you are a God who loves them, who is compassionate. And Lord, that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit to you. And I pray that each one of us would choose to sit at your feet, that we would say no to something around us, to someone, to something, and say yes to you. And that we would be sensitive to you, Lord, when we hear your voice that says, come away and come sit with me. Lord, that we would drop everything that we are doing at that moment and that we would sit with you. Lord, I pray that we would be broken before you, that our lives would be as broken bread and poured out wine, and that you, Lord, your fragrance, that is what people would smell when they are around us. That's what they would experience, that they would know. They would look at our lives and know that we have been with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you that you want to have fellowship with us. And Lord, may we just run to your feet. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.